Hello, I'm Jeff. My wife and I host Message of Hope. Message of Hope wants to be your weekly inspirational, motivational, and non-judgmental friend to help you through your week as we share Bible truth and life experiences to let you know you're not alone. Let's join Sandra to see what message of hope she has today.
Hello, I'm Sandra. Today, let's talk about one of my favorite subjects, food. Before we get started, I want to ask you a question that a friend of mine had posted on Facebook recently. What do you call a cow with no legs? Ground beef! Sorry, since we're talking about food today, that one just popped in my head, and I thought you might get a laugh out of it like I did. Squirrel! Okay, let's get back to the topic. I'm not sure exactly how that I came to think like I do now about food and food insecurities. In my adult life and spending a few years as a single mother of three, we definitely had times that there was little food to choose from and no money to obtain any either. I thank God for other people who had somehow understood that we might need items and at times shared things with us, saying that they had more than they could use because their generosity sustained us. But even while having a good understanding of what it's like to be without food, I still somehow just relied on getting food at the store when we did have the money to do so. Somehow, I never thought to put some things away for those times when money was low or there was none at all. Since remarrying 25-plus years ago, when my husband got paid, I would go to the grocery store because God has blessed us through my husband's good health and ability to work. We've not gone without. I had gained understanding through my life experiences, and I had started a food pantry at our previous church, and a group of us would coupon, and through donations from members, we had stocked several shelves with food, hygiene items, and household products to give to those who were in need in our community. So I guess to a degree, food shortages or insecurities have been an awareness I've had for some time now. But I still never thought to store any food for those hard times for myself and my family. I just bought food when we had the money. In recent years, there have been a lot of natural disasters, and I saw on the news how people were waiting for water to be brought to them after a disaster. And I got to thinking, I should store a couple of cases of water for ourselves should, God forbid, something happen in our area. Also, as a result of this podcast, putting it onto YouTube, it caused me to view some videos about people prepping food and storing it away. Some seemed to be prepping for the world to end, stocking up on guns and ammunition as well, and I kind of ignored all that, making a quick judgment that they had gone too far to the right or left of the road and had become extremists. And as a follower of Yeshua, I know it's not good to make choices based on fear. Also, as a believer, I had always just prayed about it, and somehow something always happened, like an opportunity to make some money or a neighbor sharing some food. A couple of times an unexpected check came in the mail, so that we never were what I would truly call hungry. But after some time thinking back through the years, I remembered that my mother and my grandmother would raise garden vegetables, and when I was a young girl, I remember my father had built my mom a storm/root cellar where she kept a variety of items that she had canned. I had not thought about that for years. I just never gave that food they stored much thought until now. I guess I just assumed it was put away to have those fresh vegetables in the wintertime when there wasn't any available at the stores or on the vine. And perhaps that was true. None of them are alive today for me to ask. Perhaps it was because they understood what it was like to go without food, and it was a way to sustain their family should disaster strike or they came to struggle financially. Personally, I try to filter my thinking through what I have knowledge of in God's holy word, the Bible. When I began to consider if it was right for me to store food, the first thing that came to my mind was the parable of the 10 virgins found in Matthew 25:1-13. Here's how it reads. At that time, God's kingdom will be like 10 girls who went to wait for the bridegroom. They took their lamps with them. 5 of the girls were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish girls took their lamps with them, but they did not take extra oil for those lamps. The wise girls took their lamps and more oil in jars. When the bridegroom was very late, the girls could not keep their eyes open and they all fell asleep. At midnight, someone announced, "The bridegroom is coming. Come and meet him." Then all the girls woke up. They made their lamps ready, but the foolish girls said to the wise girls, "Give us some of your oil. The oil in our lamps is all gone." The wise girls answered, "No. The oil we have might not be enough for all of us, but go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." So the foolish girls went to buy oil, and while they were gone, the bridegroom came. The girls who were ready went in with the bridegroom to the wedding feast. Then the door was closed and locked. Later, the other girls came, and they said, "Sir, sir, open the door to let us in." But the bridegroom answered, "Certainly not. I don't even know you." So always be ready. You don't know the day or the time when the Son of Man will come. We see that those wise virgins, they were prepared. They had thought ahead of time about what they would need in order to be ready when the time was right. The foolish virgins desired just as much to meet him, but they were unprepared. I know the sermons that we've usually heard in the past teach this is about having our hearts and our lives ready and to be in a relationship with the Yeshua before he actually returns. But to me, in addition, it shows that we have to do our part. We have to be prepared ahead of time, and they had to physically purchase something, oil, in order to be ready. And that applies to what we're talking about today. If we look in Matthew 24:3-8, it reads, "Later, Jesus was sitting at a place on the Mount of Olives. The followers came to be alone with him, and they said, 'Tell us when these things will happen, and what will happen to prepare us for your coming and the end of time.' And Jesus answered, 'Be careful, don't let anyone fool you. Many people will come and use my name. They will say, I am the Messiah, and they will fool many people. You will hear about wars being fought, and you will hear stories about other wars beginning. But don't be afraid. These things must happen before the end comes. Nations will fight against other nations. Kingdoms will fight against kingdoms. There will be times when there is no food for people to eat, and there will be earthquakes in different places. These things are only the beginning of troubles, like the first pains of a woman giving birth.'" Those scriptures tell me that famines will come as a result of wars and natural disasters, and even more so as we see the end approaching. If we've already been told that that would happen, shouldn't we do what we can to prepare to the best of our ability to sustain ourselves? If we look further down in Matthew 24 to verses 37-50, we read, "When the Son of Man comes, it will be the same as what happened during Noah's time. In those days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving their children to be married right up to the day that Noah entered the boat. They knew nothing about what was happening until the flood came and destroyed them all. It will be the same when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding grain with a mill. One will be taken, and the other will be left. So always be ready. You don't know the day your Lord will come. What would a homeowner do if he knew when a thief was coming? You know he would be ready and not let the thief break in. So you also must be ready. The Son of Man will come at a time when you don't expect him. Who is the wise and trusted servant? The master trusts the one servant to give the other servants their food at the right time. Who is the one the master trusts to do the work? When the master comes and finds that servant doing the work he gave him, it will be a day of blessing for that servant. I can tell you without a doubt, the master will choose that servant to take care of everything he owns. But what will happen if that servant is evil and he thinks his master will not come back soon? He will begin to beat the other servants. He will eat and drink with others who are drunk. Then the master will come when the servant is not ready, at a time when the servant is not expecting him. Then the master will punish that servant, and he will send him away to be with the hypocrites, where people cry and grind their teeth with pain. Wow. Now, of course, when Yeshua returns, I'm sure food will be the last thing on our minds. I'm trying to point out that we are to prepare. We cannot assume we can run to the store to purchase things when they are needed, and as we read, he went on to say, we are to have food to feed those in our household, which may also include those who are fellow servants and believers in Yeshua. And the biggest bonus of all is he also let us know it would be a blessed day for the servant that he finds doing these things when he returns, and he would choose them to take care of everything he owns. Before now, I wasn't prepared to give someone food in due season. We lived check to check, and we only purchased the grocery items that we needed until the next check. But God is clearly telling us here that we need to be prepared, that bad times will come, and that we should be ready to provide for our families and fellow believers if necessary, something to sustain them. We get further confirmation if we go back to Matthew 25, verses 34 through 46. Then the king will say to the godly people on his right, come, my Father has great blessings for you. The kingdom he promised is now yours. It has been prepared for you since the world was made. It is yours. Because when I was hungry, you gave me food to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I had no place to stay, you welcomed me into your home. When I was without clothes, you gave me something to wear. When I was sick, you cared for me. When I was in prison, you came to visit me. Then the godly people will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and give you food? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you with no place to stay and welcomed you into our home? When did we see you without clothes and give you something to wear? And when did we see you sick or in prison and care for you? Then the king will answer, the truth is, anything you did for any of my people here, you also did it for me. Then the king will say to the evil people on his left, get away from me. God has already decided that you will be punished. Go into the fire that burns forever, the fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. You must go away because when I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. When I was thirsty, You gave me nothing to drink. When I had no place to stay, you did not welcome me into your home. And when I was without clothes, you gave me nothing to wear. When I was sick and in prison, you did not care for me. Then those people will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? When did we see you without a place to stay? Or when did we see you without clothes or sick or in prison? When did we see any of this and not help you? The king will answer, the truth is, anything you refuse to do for any of my people here, you refuse to do it for me. Then these evil people will go away to be punished forever. But the godly people will go and enjoy eternal life. Wow. Again, we're seeing that we are to have enough to help someone else in need. That providing for them is the same as providing for the Lord. If we look in Proverbs 21:20, it says, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. I've been very guilty of that. Proverbs 6:6-8 says, you lazy people, you should watch the ants. Do and learn from them. Ants have no ruler, no boss, and no leader. But in the summer, ants gather all their food and save it, so when winter comes, there is plenty to eat. As I told you previously, I had believed I was just to pray and wait on God to move on my behalf. Sometimes I suffered. Other times we were blessed by others who were wise and had prepared beforehand. But now I see that I'm not supposed to pray and hope a miracle will fall from the sky or that someone else will provide my needs. No, we are wise in God's eyes when we are obedient to His word and prepare beforehand ourselves. We see that things work when we work, when we do our part. When we even look at the life of Jesus and His teachings, the one that we're supposed to do as He did, it included both prayer and action. He did spend a lot of time in prayer, but He also spent a lot of time in action, in teaching others, in healing others, in investing His time and energy in their lives. The Bible teaches us not to just think nice thoughts for others, not to just say nice things to them or just pray for them. We are to put action behind our faith by doing good deeds for others. 1 John 3:17 through 18 reads, but if someone who is supposed to be a Christian has money enough to live well and sees a brother in need and won't help him, how can God's love be within him? Little children, let us stop just saying we love people. Let us really love them and show it by our actions. James 2:14 through 26 says, dear brothers, what's the use of saying that you have faith and are Christians if you aren't proving it by helping others? Will that kind of faith save anyone? If you have a friend who's in need of food and clothing, and you say to him, well, goodbye, and God bless you, stay warm and eat hearty, and then don't give him any clothes or food, what good does that do? So you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. You must also do good to prove that you have it. Faith that doesn't show itself by good works is no faith at all. It is dead and useless. But someone may well argue, you say the way to God is by faith alone, plus nothing. Well, I say that good works are important too, for without good works, you can't prove whether you have faith or not. But anyone can see that you have faith by the way you act. And there's still some among you who hold that only believing is enough, believing in one God. Well, remember that the demons believe this too, so strongly that they tremble in terror. Fool! When will you ever learn that believing is useless without doing what God wants you to? Faith that does not result in good deeds is not real faith. Don't you remember that even our father Abraham was declared good because of what he did when he was willing to obey God, even if it meant offering his son Isaac to die on the altar? You see, he was trusting God so much that he was willing to do whatever God told him to. His faith was made complete by what he did, by his actions, his good deeds. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, that Abraham trusted God, and the Lord declared him good in God's sight, and he was even called the friend of God. So you see, a man is saved by what he does, as well as by what he believes. Rahab, the prostitute, is another example of this. She was saved because of what she did when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead when there is no spirit in it, so faith is dead if it is not the kind that results in good deeds. So let's add actions to our faith when it comes to our food. There are many reasons why we need to be storing food, in my opinion. We see, first and foremost, that we are to do as Yeshua did. We are to use what's told to us in Scripture to know how to live our day-to-day lives, and we see we are rewarded by God when we do so. We live in an unstable world, and even things like riots can cause martial law to need to be issued because it could become too dangerous to leave our homes. Natural disasters like flooding, earthquakes, ice storms could potentially cause stores to be sold out or prices to skyrocket or even make it too dangerous to go out into the streets. We see that even if there is no disaster, that food is simply going up due to inflation, and we are currently seeing many disasters that are preventing foods from being grown, and most likely, something you buy today will cost even more next year. So why not buy it for less? I'll give you an example. Last week, several tornadoes touched down in the state of Ohio, and someone who lives there showed a picture on Facebook of a local grocery store in that area that was advertising that they had 24 packs of water available for sale for $11.99. I don't know about you, but where I live, you can buy these any day of the week for just under $3. This is one small piece of evidence that in a disaster, even when you could find the item you needed, and even if you had the money, just how much are you going to have to pay for it? You know, prices today are lower than they will be tomorrow. And when these things skyrocket, will the quality be the same? The water I mentioned that had been price gouged was not name or a familiar brand, so who knows? Out of curiosity, I researched the cost of food over the years, and here's what I found. According to the U.S. Inflation Calculator, when inflation started being monitored in the year 1913, a $100 bill bought you $100 in food. In 1950, it took $243.43 to buy that same food. By 1970, it took $391.92 to buy that $100 worth of food. In 1990, it took $1,320.20 to buy that same $100 in food. In 2010, it took $2,202.59 to buy the same food. In 2019, it will take $2,581.29 to buy that same $100 in food. It just makes good sense to buy food and preserve it before you have to pay more for it, or just to enjoy items that may be seasonal by dehydrating, canning, or otherwise preserving, and it'll be available for you to enjoy all year or to have in an extreme condition. Now, I know most of us don't have a lot of extra money lying around to go out and purchase a bunch of food that we're not sure if we'll use right away to store it just in case it's needed. So what I've been doing is just buying $10 worth of items to be put away each time I go to the grocery store. Some weeks, I don't have that extra 10 unless I eliminate one or two splurge items from my list, and so far, that has not been too difficult to do. If you're thrifty, that $10 could get you, for instance, a 24-pack of water, a bag of beans, a bag of rice, and a box of cereal. Next time you shop, add a little more into what you have until you feel that you've got at least the 3-day emergency food supply, as well as other items that are suggested on hand in case of an emergency on the FEMA website. And I'll give you the link to that on Message of Hope. As Jehovah instructed us, let's consider the ant and gather in the summer, in other words, the good times, to prepare for the winter, the times of being without. As we wrap up today, I encourage you to go to our website at msgofhope.com. And on the podcast tab, you will find episode 42, where you can re-listen to this podcast and find the references for the scriptures that we read together today so that you can study them for yourself and make any adjustments according to what God alone lays on your specific heart. And as always, we thank you for listening to our podcast and for helping us to spread the good news of Jesus Christ by liking and sharing it with your friends. And if our podcast has helped you in any way, or if you need prayer, we would love to hear about that. You can contact us at msgofhope1@gmail.com or on our website through messaging. Now, as I log off, I want to bless you with a prayer given to the sons of Aaron. Ready? Let's pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Until next time, Shalom.